New houses are being constructed on the Pine Ridge Reservation. The project is part of Thunder Valley CDC. They offer work programs for low-income families. SDPB's China Lockett spoke with the Community Engagement Coordinator for Thunder Valley, Andrew Ironshell.
Right now we are walking out into the regenerative community development, and we are going through the demonstration farm, which has 400 chickens, just recently brought into a new chicken coop that we're putting together. We have a geothermal greenhouse here. It's really a demonstration of the potential to grow food all year long. We want to show our community the potential of doing that, and also how it could be used as an economic model. And so we're looking at creating really a petri dish here at the regenerative community development of what's possible. So it is possible to grow food all year long. It is possible to own our own homes and to do it in a way according to our own value system as Indigenous peoples.
What's that value system that you guys are trying to follow?
So when we look at what we're doing here, we stick to three principles of people, planet, and prosperity. So the choices we make in the Food Sovereignty Initiative have to have all three of those components in it. And so we incorporate those principles into every decision, whether it's in the design of the buildings and the programming that's going to happen, all down to, you know, different aspects of our language initiative. So those three principles have to be involved in each of our choices.
Can I get an example of how they're involved in, like, I guess the food sovereignty or any of your other activities?
You bet. So when we look at people, planet, and prosperity, say the physical construction of this development, we're looking at creating a community that's going to be eco-friendly, meaning that all the energy we use in this 34 acres, we're going to create in this 34 acres. We're going to be responsible stewards of the land by giving back to the land. So we're looking to capture all the rain that falls in this development and reusing it in the community gardens that'll be here, in a demonstration farm. So, you know, we're growing our own traditional medicines in this space as well. So that's part of that value system of people, planet, and prosperity. Creating economic models through, say, a social enterprise model for our retail space. That helps our community having the capacity to make economic choices rather than being dictated to by outside forces. So they get to be shot callers where they work, make a supervisor's wage, have skin in the game, whereas other models that have come into our community are more, I guess, predatory in nature, that, you know, the income that we might make at this convenience store next to Thunder Valley goes to somebody in California. Well, we want our own people to benefit from the economic opportunities in this jurisdiction of the Oglala Nation.
Right now, we're standing in front of these houses that are affordable housing for locals on the reservations, right?
You bet.
Can you tell me a little bit about these houses and what prompted them and how long it's taken to, like, get these structures up?
You bet. So right now, we're looking at 7 highly energy efficient two-story houses here at the regenerative community development. They're going to have solar on top, so it's going to take away that large utility bill that we're used to, and that's kind of the process, is that savings in utility makes these homes affordable for folks like me. So the cashier at the gas station I spoke about could actually enter one of our self-help programs here and get into one of these houses and maybe live next to a college professor. So we want that opportunity to be available for our low-income workers as well as, you know, professionals that otherwise might leave this community because of lack of adequate housing. So we can give the lowest income families up to $55,000 in subsidy to purchase one of these homes. We also have a sweat equity program where, similar to Habitat for Humanity, families are back here working after work on their own homes and on each other's homes. And so in that model, they can all move in at the same time, and it makes it a lot more affordable. These homes probably would have been out of reach for a lot of low-income families without that type of programming involved.
What makes the Thunder Valley's housing development program different from, like, a federal housing subsidy program or something available on the reservation?
I think that it's a much better fit for our community because we took a lot of the input of our local community through community engagement sessions and really kind of fine-tune the process, where most models in America leave out the community piece. They leave out the community people or those most impacted, don't get to be decision makers in that process. And so that's what makes ours different, is we include the community at every stage of our development. In every programming that we do, we make sure that the community piece influences what's going to happen, so that it's not Thunder Valley saying, no, we're going to do this or we're going to do that, that it's really community-led, that, no, as an organization, we want you to do this and we want you to do that. So we facilitate the needs of our community.
And when you say, like, the community, do you mean, like, meetings that Thunder Valley has had to get the input from people on Pine Ridge?
Exactly. So we've had several years of community listening sessions, and then even to bring that smaller, so we have different initiatives that happen, language, food, social enterprise. And so in those processes, we bring in the community as often as possible to get their input, to let them know they still have skin in the game in that conversation. And especially true for the construction here, is sometimes it's difficult to bring people in to talk about construction things, but we say, well, how's the floor plan? How do you like the layout of the landscape? You know, really help them inform a lot of the decision making.
Can you tell me a little bit about the houses themselves? What about these houses helps make them sustainable, and, like you were saying, touches on those three values from the community?
You bet. So we did a straw bale house here initially that was put together with the School of Mines, CU Boulder, South Dakota School of Mines, and Oglala Lakota College. And so through that process, we learned about our energy efficiency expectations. We looked at how was it to teach young students, you know, 16 to 25 in that age range, how to teach them sustainable construction that maybe had never picked up a hammer before. And it also taught us different ways of how are we going to finance these homes. And so that that experience of building a straw bale house here really informed future decisions. So in that process, we use a passive solar strategy, meaning we have big windows to the south. And that's not something new, that's something that builders have been doing for eons now. But we picked up some of those things that have worked in the past and implemented them in our housing design, so that having the big windows towards the south, there's a patio door on the bottom floor, so you have that indoor-outdoor space. We have large families here in Lakota country, so that really kind of accommodates that need for a larger space. And it also helps with the energy efficiency of that home. It keeps it cool in the summer and hot in the winter. They're really airtight. And so a few weeks ago when it was 105 out here, I took some tours, people into that home, and it was 65 degrees in there without an air conditioner system in place yet. And so we kind of got a glimpse of, okay, here's how these houses are going to perform in the hot summers. And we do expect the same in the 20 below winters that we have, that they'll perform well because of some of that passive solar strategy. While you're at work all day, your windows are open, that sun shines right in your home. When you come home from work, you don't use as much energy to heat that space because of the strategy involved.
Right now, looking at these houses, they are almost at the structures up, and they're not painted, and they don't have shingles on the roofs yet and stuff. So what can you describe these to me? Like, what phase are you on now?
Yeah, we're actually about 3/4 done with these houses. Right now we're looking at the houses. They have building wrap on them, and they're getting prepped for having metal siding and metal roofs. And once those are in place, then the solar will be installed. And so right now we're getting ready for winter, so they're doing as much of the outside work and completing that as possible so that they can work inside in the colder months.
About how long is it going to take to complete these?
We're not sure. This is our first cul-de-sac, so we have a house, a cul-de-sac of 7 houses here. This is our first 7 houses in the development, and so it's a teaching program, a training program. So it's a lot more tedious than your, say, your normal construction site. So it's been a lot more of getting so far and then kind of holding back a little bit and making sure that everybody's caught up to the learning, that learning curve, and then moving forward from them. So we really don't have tight deadlines that most construction sites like this would have, because it's a training program.
Who are you training? Who's doing the construction work for this?
So back here, we have a sweat equity program, so we're training families to build their own homes. As well, we have a cohort of 10 young people that started in January, will end in October, who have learned sustainable construction, are working on their GEDs, on individual success plans, and so potentially they could move into an employee-owned construction company. So literally going from mom's couch to being a business owner, say in about 2 years' time. And so as we created Thunder Valley Development here, this is really a petri dish so that maybe the tribe or other outside people that are looking to build sustainable construction will look at this model and see how we've arrived here. So that it would happen on Pine Ridge is very powerful, because statistically this is the poorest place in America, yet we're building homes to sell. And we know that there's money on Pine Ridge. There's 5,200 workers that clock in every day that could buy, lease, or rent a home, you know. So the money's here, it's just building the capacity of the credit score, of the understanding of what equity means to own a home, and understanding the value of that benefit.
I have heard people wondering if they're going to be able to afford the apartments, or who's going to be able to afford like the housing with like an 80% unemployment rate.
You bet.
Can you kind of explain that or touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, so eventually in phase two, we will start some rental units. And so the idea is that through that rental process, that we can help build the capacity of those that want to move into home ownership. So not everybody on Pine Ridge is at that place in life where, you know, you can afford one of these homes. But our intention is to make it as, I guess, to build the capacity as much as possible for all families on Pine Ridge to have access to this opportunity. So that might mean coming to our financial literacy class or a home buyer class, which these seven families have done. They were in our classes maybe a year and a half ago, and got to understand the opportunity, and now they're into purchasing one of these homes. So it does take some time. It is a process. There is a learning curve, and as we build this development and look at housing as an economic driver on Pine Ridge, I think we're going to uplift more families than just the ones that will be here in this 34 acres.
And how many of these houses or apartments have you already sold? Do you have a waiting list or anything?
We have 5 of the homes here that have qualified for home financing. And it's not really a waiting list. It's pretty much a self-selection. So do I want to work on my credit score and get into the opportunity? Do I want to work the 3 to 4 hours after my daily job and come out here and build my own home and get in there cheaper? So it's really a self-selection more than us picking and choosing community.
Is there anything that I should have asked that I didn't?
I think you pretty much covered a lot of what we're doing here. And I think just the uniqueness of having an eco-friendly community in, say, somewhere like Pine Ridge, where we know the value system is here, but the economics and the politics weren't always here. Now it's this time in our, I guess, in our history here on Pine Ridge that these things are going to happen. Regardless of the current administration, you know, things are going to happen here. People are going to own their own homes. This community is going to be built, and these families are going to thrive, and it's going to be an example for other families on Pine Ridge and across rural America, across Indian country, that this is possible, and it is possible being led by community people.
All right. Well, thank you so much for this interview today.
You bet. Thank you.